Jesus shows himself as both the shepherd and the lamb. Remember how at Mass we say of Jesus' body and blood, "Behold the Lamb of God. He is the sacrificial lamb offered for our sins." And in today's gospel, Jesus tells us he is the shepherd, and the sheep know his voice. He is also the gate of heaven and eternal life. Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. Jesus wants to lead us and guide us to eternal life. However, if you read the scriptures even more carefully, across all the scriptures, you learn something very important. You realize that Jesus is not content just to be with us, near us, behind us, in front of us. He's not content with that. He wants to be in us. Not merely near. You know, when you attend a Catholic wedding, you hear the words from the Gospel of Matthew saying what Jesus said when he was asked about divorce. And Jesus says, the two will become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. And he wants no less with us. And that's one of the reasons why you find in Scripture, throughout Scripture, that marriage is one of the most frequently mentioned metaphors for the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us, like a marriage. Intermingled, not two, but one. So Jesus desires to be one flesh with us, not merely near us. The Easter mystery, the Paschal mystery, shows this to be true. Let's take a close look at what happened around the triduum, the passion of the Lord, his passion and his resurrection. Remember that it started with Mass? Remember Thursday night, the Last Supper? And Jesus says to his disciples at table, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he says, with the chalice, "Take and drink all of it. For this is the chalice of my blood, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So that's the night immediately before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and was arrested and his passion began. And if you recall, and it was from the gospel from last Sunday, the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And what was going on? They hadn't yet seen the risen Jesus. And he comes and walks with them that 11 kilometers back to, about 7 or 8 miles back from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they are wondering what happened. Things didn't work out the way they expected. And he says to them, "Oh, don't be hard-headed. Don't you know the scriptures?" And he goes back over all the scriptures, starting with Moses and the prophets. And he tells again what the scripture said of him, the Messiah, and that he had to suffer and die. He was opening scripture for them. And then the day was ended and it was eating time, and they invited him to eat with them. They still didn't recognize him. And at table, he took bread and he broke it and they consumed it and he disappeared. Why did he disappear? because now he was in them, not just with them. So he started the Passion with the Mass. He ended the Passion with the Mass. The Paschal Mystery is like a sandwich, with the Mass at the beginning, the Mass at the end, and the Passion and Resurrection in the middle. Must be something really important for us in the mystery of the Mass, that he is not content just to be near us, but he desires with all his heart and soul to be in us. Have you noticed that we move the tabernacle? Have you seen that we move the tabernacle? I want to explain to you the reasons for that. And it's connected with this Paschal Mystery that we're exploring. Do you remember just a couple of weeks ago, we used to have this procession at the end of communion where the priest or the deacon would carry the Blessed Sacrament in the ciborium across the church over to the tabernacle, and everybody would stand up for the procession. And it was a procession. You can't find that procession in 2,000 years of the history of the Mass. It's not in the Roman Missal. It was here in this church that it became a practice. Now that's okay. Many churches have something similar. I'm just telling you, you can't find it in the general instructions in the Roman Missal because it doesn't exist. And in fact, it can become a distraction. How? It was an unfortunate distraction, because when you have received Holy Communion, you become the tabernacle. When you consume the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you have Christ in you that makes you tabernacles. So just when you should be praying with the awareness, that deep, profound awareness that you have consumed Jesus and Jesus is now in you and you are now the tabernacle, oh, everybody on their feet, we're going to walk over to the tabernacle and have a parade. Let's take a closer look at Our Lady of Guadalupe. She's pregnant, isn't she? You see how she's pregnant? She has this universal sign of the pregnancy belt, that black ribbon underneath her breast, across her abdomen. And right under it, there is a flower that is the flower and it's the symbol and the Aztec symbol for the one true God. So where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? In the early church, the early fathers of the church quickly began to refer to Mary as the first tabernacle. She carried Jesus in her womb. The name is, you'll see it in as Theotokos, God bearer. She who bore God. Now, here's Mary 500 years ago in Mexico City, before the bishop, and this image appears on the tilma of Juan Diego. And we make a lot of mistakes if we don't understand how to read what's going on. It's a love letter. And you see you hear people with European backgrounds refer to it as the sun is behind her. No, Christ is in her. And she's showing the Aztec people, she is the tabernacle of the one true God. And in her words to Juan Diego, this comes out. So Mary is the first tabernacle. And her invitation to us is to, and to them at the time, is be baptized and become tabernacles. You may recall that I've said in previous homilies, do you want to live in the kingdom of God? Do you want to live in the kingdom of God? You want to live in the kingdom of God? There are three things. Three things. They're very simple. One, the very first one is don't miss Mass. Comes right straight out of the Ten Commandments. Wow. Number two, receive Holy Communion as often as you can. Three, when you fall off the bicycle, go to confession. Why? So you can do one and two. Really, really simple. If you do those three things, you will live in the kingdom of God. Of course, that's an oversimplification. But that's why Jesus put so much emphasis on the Mass and the forgiveness of sins. The impact of the Mass upon the apostles and the early church was profound. And from the very first day of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the church has said Mass. We haven't missed a Sunday in 2,000 years. The lesson was too powerful up front. First, we break open the scripture, like Jesus did on the road to Emmaus. And then we bless the bread and wine and consume them, just as Jesus commanded before and after his passion and resurrection. And that's how we participate in the kingdom of God. As tabernacles, we become like Mary. We become tabernacles bearing God within us. We have permission from Bishop Vasquez to move the tabernacle to a place behind the altar. And we're never again going to have the post-communion procession to the tabernacle. Instead, I'm hoping all of us will just take that time to pray and realize, I don't want to interrupt you. I don't want to distract you. You have just received Jesus Christ. You've just become a tabernacle. That's precious prayer time at that moment. Our old tabernacle is a good one. We've sent it to be refurbished. It's going to be completely regilded and reworked. We've been told that it's going to be returned to us just a little bit before Corpus Christi, the Feast of Corpus Christi in June, and the celebration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which falls the Friday after Corpus Christi. Now, here's where I would like to share with you some words about my recent vacation. When I first came to the parish, I admit I didn't know very much about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Let's just say I was ignorant. It just wasn't part of my personal spiritual journey and spiritual experience. But I knew here I had to learn something about it. It says Sacred Heart on the outside of the church, but I didn't find a way to learn much about it inside. So I decided to take my vacation to go to the source of the devotions. You may recall we attempted this last year. We started doing some things with the Sacred Heart last year. I have a priest friend, Father Victor Mayorga. He is my former pastor in San Marcos at St. John. And he and I traveled to Paray-le-Monial in the Burgundy region in southeast France, where Jesus appeared in 1671 to 1673 several times to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. She was receiving these visions while she was at Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I wanted to go to the source of our modern day devotions to the Blessed Sacrament. We were able to pray with St. Margaret Mary. I was able to pray for our parish there for several days that we were there. The tomb of St. Margaret Mary is on the side of the same chapel where the apparitions occurred, the Chapel of the Apparitions. And I was able to say Mass right there by her tomb. We learned a lot about the apparitions there and Jesus' request to honor the first Friday after Corpus Christi, the Feast of Corpus Christi, with a feast to his most sacred heart. And the church quickly adapted that, and it's now a worldwide practice. He told her to do the same on First Fridays of every month afterwards. And you all are familiar with the First Friday devotions. What was the central message of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? This is important. He wanted the world to know how much he loved us. There was at that time a heresy growing and brewing in France and all of Europe, and it infected the whole church in the 17th century. It was called Jansenism. It's a form of Catholic Presbyterianism, Calvinism. John Calvin and Martin Luther had been teaching, you're wasting your time receiving all those sacraments. That's a complete waste of time. And you don't need to be going to communion that often. They were doing away with the sacraments and the sacramental system, which is what we now understand as Protestantism here in the modern world. But the popes were saying repeatedly, over and over again, no, receive Holy Communion as often as you can. And there was a lot of tension throughout the church. And then to this little nun who was cloistered and never saw the outside of the monastery, of the convent, she started receiving these apparitions. She loved Jesus so much, she wanted to be united to him. And he appeared to her with this message: receive Holy Communion as often as you possibly can. That's the basic message of the Sacred Heart. Now, at the time, they were saying, okay, once a year is okay. Once in a while, maybe on some great feasts, maybe at Easter. But you're wasting your time. And here Jesus comes along on the Feast of Corpus Christi, he appeared to her and said, put a devotion to my most sacred heart on the Friday after Corpus Christi. And then he said, every first Friday, receive Holy Communion. Now, in those days, that would have been really frequent. And he was echoing the popes, receive Holy Communion as often as you can. You may have noticed that we've placed various images of the Sacred Heart in the entrances to the church. There are many. There's not a single faithful image of the Sacred Heart like there is to the Blessed Mother in Guadalupe. But St. Margaret Mary had described her encounter and described Jesus and the Sacred Heart with her words. And many artists have attempted to translate that over the last four centuries into what they imagined was going on. And so we have some of the most famous images in the entrances to the church. And I want to invite you to spend some time with these images. Hopefully, one of them will resonate with you in a special way. And in the coming weeks, it would be good if we could choose one of them to put right here. A major piece of art to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, large scale, so that all of us can tell the story to any visitor who comes in here, that the message of Jesus Christ, the message of God, is God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. And his Son gave us his body and blood, and we receive that from the holy altar. And the tabernacle becomes us. And the very first tabernacle was the Blessed Mother. And Jesus tells us to receive Holy Communion as often as is possible. Because everything in this reserve tabernacle is destined to be consumed by one of us.